Good morning, church. It's Easter. Our day. If you can, turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. We will begin there. Well attended sunrise service this morning. And I know it's not me. I know it was just the weather was nice. Well, that is good to see. Let's go to prayer just one more time. Father, we ask that as we open your book, your word, that which is given to us, that which is an absolute gift, for without it we perish. There is simply no Christianity. There's no faith. There's no knowledge. There's nothing without you. And a word infused into this world that we might know you. Without the word, the crucifixion is of no use. Without the word, we know nothing of your Christ. Without you and your word, what we study here today is completely meaningless. And we just praise your name for it. For your words are life. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Today before us on this table, we have a brief illustration, but it's four cups filled with what is ostensibly wine. But of course, being the type of church that we are, it is non-fermented, I assure you. Still qualifies in the New Testament. However, we talk today in context of Passover and in context of the crucifixion. These two events are not coincidental, nor can they be overlooked or ignored. As we come into this season, especially upon this day, I want you to understand that the world is fine with Jesus. And we've talked about this lately, but I want you to understand the world is fine with Jesus at a distance. They are fine with Jesus dead. They are fine with Jesus somehow spiritually raised in our hearts. They are not okay with a Jesus who came to die on a cross to pay the substitution of our sin and then be raised from the dead to prove it. This is of profound difficulty for the world. It's an offense. It's also ridiculous. The idea of someone literally dead and literally risen. But not only that, this event, the historical event of Christ's crucifixion, cannot be removed from the context of the Passover. And in fact, we see it all the way through Scripture, but explicitly, the night before Jesus was crucified, he claims it for himself. He makes Passover about him. Now, to rehearse our history. Before this event, when Israel was in the land of Egypt, they were there some 400 years. And enslaved of the Pharaohs, they were a people who were locked in to that slavish existence. And they cried out unto their God. And God had spoken to Abraham hundreds of years before and said that they will go through this, but at the end of it, I will bring them out with a strong hand, and they shall be my people, and I shall be their God. And Passover celebrates that time when, for a year, the plagues rocked Egypt, everything from flies to boils, and culminating in the death of the firstborn, that the firstborn of every household would die, from the least to the house of Pharaoh. And the only way to stave off God's judgment was that a lamb spotless and clean, of no broken bone, of no mean stature, would be sacrificed and his blood placed upon the doorpost and the lintel of the home, therefore causing God's judgment to pass over and not visit that home. I want you to understand that. Passover is because judgment is coming. This is another term the world does not like. I want you to understand what Passover celebrates is that God's judgment is coming on all men. And unless blood stands in the way, unless there is a propitiation, unless there is a wrath satisfaction, all men will feel its sting. And so Israel was given this event to mark something historical in their nation's history, but would become the example of how they deal with their sin before God. And as we've talked about here, that formal worship, that when people would come and offer sacrifices in the temple and a lamb was slain and the blood spilt over and over and over again for thousands of years, what it did was it caused the ability, and only the ability, for God to move their sin out of the way momentarily so that he could not judge his people, so he didn't have to kill them when they came to him. It allowed for a formal worship relationship to be accomplished. And then every year, marking Passover, marking Israel's leaving of the land as the Spirit of God visited in judgment these houses, the night of Passover would be celebrated with a feast. A couple of weeks ago, we had a Passover Seder here. We had Jews for Jesus who came in, and they explained what I'm going to explain to you. I'm going to explain it in much less detail and actually emphasizing only these cups today. Now, the first cup at the beginning of the evening was a cup of sanctification. This cup was to be drunk in the same way for the Jew. The Jew actually celebrates, and to this day, Jews celebrate these four cups at Passover. In a sense, the whole night revolves around these four cups. There's matzah, of course, and there's a meal, of course, and there's celebration, of course, and there are questions, and there's the word of God spoken, and all these things. But it all revolves around these four cups. As Jews celebrate the Passover, the four cups are the thing. And the first one is drunk at the beginning of the evening. It's the cup of sanctification, which says simply, God to his people, you're mine. That's all it does. It says, you're mine. And every time Israel would raise this first glass, what they were saying was, we are the people of God. He pulled us out of Egypt. He called us his own. That's what this cup is. It's a cup of sanctification. I am set apart, says Israel, unto God. Now, the second cup was a cup of remembrance. This is a cup of judgment. So if you want to write it down very quickly, first cup is sanctification. Second cup is the cup of judgment. And at this cup, Israel would dip their finger in and dip it onto the table 10 times to commemorate the 10 plagues that visited Egypt. God's judgment on their enemies. But folks, it was more than that. For unlike pagan cultures of the time where judgment was considered a one-way sword which God would strike down the enemy, Israel always had it understood that if they did not live in accordance with God's word, and because they themselves were sinners and hence the blood sacrifice, judgment also rested upon them. It was interesting, the Jewish missionary pointed this out this time in a much clearer way than I had ever heard it before. Israel, even in Jewish homes, would never rejoice at Egypt getting judged because they understood they were worthy of the same. This was a cup of judgment. And then right in the middle, there would be a meal. And the feast would be served. And so we pick up in verse 22 of chapter 14 of the book of Mark. While they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and he gave it to them and said, take it. This is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. You have to ask a question. There are four cups up there. Which cup is this? Well, we know from other passages that Jesus said, after supper, he took a cup. Well, the cup that's after supper is that third cup. As Jesus and the disciples sat around the table that night in this upper room, which had been miraculously brought to light by Jesus, marvelously provided for, And as they sat in that room, they drank the first cup, the cup of sanctification. And at the beginning of the evening, they prayed, God, you are God of the universe, we're yours. And then they had a cup of remembrance where they remembered the plagues. They remembered the judgment. They remembered their own sin and the need for its satisfaction. They remembered the Lamb. And then they had a meal, a supper. And after that meal, Jesus took up this third cup. Now, this third cup is a different cup of judgment. It's not the cup which remembers the plagues. This is the cup of wrath satisfaction. They would have eaten a piece of bread, they would have drunk from this cup, and they would have remembered the payment for their Passover. They would have remembered that Jesus is saying here, the lamb that was slain went on the doorposts. Its body was consumed. The lamb was to be eaten. Now remember, no broken bones. The lamb was to be roasted whole. It was to be eaten all at once. The family would get together and eat an entire lamb. And as they ate that lamb, they would drink the wine, and they would remember that that lamb's body purchased their Passover, that God's Spirit passed over that house, and in their home, they were safe. In their home, they were well fed. In their home, they were secure, while death and judgment was being meted out in that final plague, the Spirit of God coming and judging all houses. This simply was a celebration of the blood of the Lamb. This was the eating of the body. Notice what Jesus says. As he takes up this third cup, he said, take it. This is my body. And when he taken the cup and given thanks to it, they all drank from it. He said, this is my blood. No longer the Lamb, folks. No longer the Lamb's body. My body, my blood, says Jesus. Folks, I want you to understand that in this night, this Passover night celebrated for thousands of years, it's all about this cup. Passover, as our Jewish missionary pointed out, is about redemption. It's about buying something back which was broken, buying something back which was lost. When God redeemed Israel, he used a lamb to buy them back from Egypt. He used a lamb to pull them free and to escape judgment. And Jesus says on the night in which he was crucified, I'm that cup. As he takes it up and holds it in his hand, and as he holds a piece of bread, he says, folks, don't miss this. It's not the lamb anymore. I'm it. And I wonder at that moment, did any of the disciples think back to when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming down for his baptism? Did any of them suddenly think what John had said? John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Did at that moment, did they understand, oh, that's what John meant? I don't know. But do you understand that's what he meant? The world is constantly trying to redefine Jesus, folks. Constantly. I read an article recently in which it made the claim that Jesus died as a political dissident because he was trying to establish justice in the world and Rome could not give up its power. Folks, there is nothing more farther from the truth than that interpretation of the crucifixion. It just is awful. That's why the world is kind of okay with a dead Jesus. Somebody who died as an example, a good man who died innocently, a good man who in some sense, laid down his life for his friends. But that means that what Jesus was doing the night before he was crucified was a completely worthless thing. Jesus does not view it that way. What he says is, there is a sin problem in the world. Human beings are broken. Human beings are enslaved. Human beings are absolutely under the judgment, the wrath of God. And without something to stand in the way, God comes and kills. God comes and destroys. And there's no escape from it. And what Jesus was saying was that third cup was, I am your only way. Folks, anybody who says salvation Jesus is a way to God or a way to salvation completely misses the point. What Jesus is saying, I'm the only way. This is why in Hebrews chapter 10, where it says, if you trample underfoot the Son of God, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. You can't flee to the Old Testament ceremony. You can't flee to this place and find redemption. There's no other way. What Jesus is doing here is he is claiming this for himself and he is burning every other thing which would call itself a bridge to God. Folks, that's why we're so unacceptable. I want you to understand what we preach from this word is the only way to salvation. There's no other way. There's no other way to find a covering for your sin. There's also no other way to find power from it. Without that third cup, and that cup being Jesus, you're done. There's no hope in the world. It's completely futile. And we are struggling against something which cannot be overwhelmed by good works, by good intentions, by a force of will. At the end of the day, judgment is coming, and Jesus is our only way forward. That's what he's claiming in that cup. Now, here's the second part of this today. Turn over to Matthew chapter 26. Be in verse 36 and on. Verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. And he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said, Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again and prayed a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep, and their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. What did he pray that third time? Well, the same thing he'd said before. Father, if this cup can pass from me, please. What cup? What cup? This one. Jesus held this in front of the disciples, and he said, this is the cup of my blood. This is the cup of redemption, because judgment is coming. And just a few minutes later, he sits in the garden, and he still has this cup. This is the one that's coming. His body's about to be broken. Folks, I want you to understand, we can drink this cup in remembrance of him. In fact, he says so. do this in remembrance of me, but he's the only one who drinks what's in it. What's in it is our redemption. What's in it for him is what? Judgment. God's wrath. Our punishment. That's what's in this cup. Further, what's in this cup is a moment on the cross when God the Father has to break all connection with God the Son. God the Son becomes sin on our behalf, and God crushes him. That's what's in this cup. We drink it in remembrance. He drank it for real. And I want you to notice something about it. He's praying, please no. I want you to understand something, folks. People struggle with this. Why would Jesus sit there before God the Father and say, oh Lord, please, if this cup can pass, notice what he says. My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Second time. My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Folks, I want you to understand, redemption is given to us, but he's the one who paid for it. He drank that cup unto his death. He drank that cup in the presence of his disciples unto his own judgment, unto his own punishment, unto his own separation from the Father, unto a blindingly crucial moment where everything that he knew was ripped away, destroyed, and in utter despair, he was not looking forward to it. Hebrews says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. He despised what was coming. It's no wonder he prayed, God, please, Father, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, your will. Three times he prayed that prayer. Three times he resolved the same. And when he got up from that prayer, Judas betrayed him, and he went unto his death. Folks, you and I sit here in safety, and we sit here in remembrance, but he paid for it. And actually, that second time, there's a play on words here. My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, I want you to understand, in the text, it can easily say, my Father, if this cannot pass over unless I drink it. I don't think it's a coincidence. If you can't pass over any other way, I'll do it. If you cannot ignore their sin any other way, I'll go. If you cannot pass over what judgment is coming, I'll take it. And Jesus goes to the cross. Now, folks, that's literally what's going on. And in this world in which we live, which seeks to reduce this day to candy and new dresses, I'm personally disgusted. And I don't mind new dresses, and I don't mind candy. But in a world that seeks to roll Easter eggs and ignore the resurrection, that's abysmal. What we celebrate today is Christ's resurrection, but it's a resurrection following judgment. He paid for it. Don't you dare pass over his Passover. Don't you dare ignore what he drank from that cup in complete contemplation of what we get. don't we dare treat lightly and tread underfoot this absolute marvelous truth. We sit here today safe and secure, finding acceptance with God because of that cup. And nobody could have consumed it. Nobody could have taken it but Him, and He did. Dreading every moment of it. Hating that it had to be done. But obedient to the Father's will. Don't you dare ignore it. We don't sit here today because of spring. We don't sit here today because of newness of life. We sit here today because He died. And we find safety with Him because of that cup. Don't you dare ignore it. And the second part of this thing is back in Mark. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many. Truly I say to you, I will never drink of the fruit of the vine again until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. What does that mean? I will never drink it again until we drink it in the kingdom of God. Which cup is that, folks? Which cup is that? Well, actually, it's this one. This is the cup of Hallel. It's a cup of praise. I can't prove it. I can't prove it. But I think the disciples would have had a weird moment here. He says this, truly I say to you, I will never drink of the fruit of the vine again until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Folks, it's my belief that Jesus skipped this cup. Jesus lifted the third cup after supper. He drank it. It's a cup unto redemption. It's a cup unto His judgment. And He says, I'll never drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew. I believe He skipped this cup. This is the cup of praise. This is a cup that says, glory be to God. I think Jesus skipped it because He didn't have praise yet. This wasn't done. Now, what do you think the disciples would have thought when they were sitting there? They've drunk all four cups their entire lives. They've sat through hundreds of Passovers. Well, not hundreds, dozens. Dozens of Passovers. Every year, same four cups, and Jesus skips this one. It would have marked something in their head. It would have marked something that said, I'll never drink it again until we drink it anew. He sings a hymn and they walk out and everybody's going, why did He skip the fourth cup? Folks, because the third cup was still in His hand. Not literally, but figuratively. Jesus walks out to that garden with a cup that God's handed Him. It's a cup of your redemption, but His judgment. It's a cup of your life, but His death. It's a cup of your safety, but His danger. It's a cup of your acceptance in the eyes of God, but He will cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus didn't have a fourth cup because He's still stuck in the third one. Until today, Resurrection Day. Today, He walked out of the grave, not figuratively, not in the hearts of the disciples, not in some sort of spiritual lesson. He literally walked out of the grave. Don't you dare pass over His Passover. Because, folks, man, we're saved. Don't you understand? We have joy because of that cup. We can rejoice. We can praise. We can roll eggs to our heart's content. We can absolutely worship God freely because that cup was consumed. Praise be to God. and don't miss it. Let's go to prayer. Father, we praise your name. Oh, we praise your name. As we deal with what was really heavy, that is your consumption of a cup on our behalf, a cup which includes all the judgment of the world, all the judgment of sin, which includes a separation from the Father, a fracture in the Godhead, which includes death and the defamation of name. But you took it all on our behalf, and you did not stay dead. You rose again. And Father, we drink this in remembrance of you for all of this done on our behalf, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Hey, let's stand and sing and end this with joy.